Our hope, our faith, our trust is in the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, are you excited for this new year? Are you looking forward to God doing a new thing in your life? Well, hallelujah. Well, we are all excited for this new year, and the theme for this quarter is, and behold. Hallelujah. Behold. And certainly we are looking for God to reveal great and wonderful things to us, that we might experience him in a new way. And the theme for this month is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We are only to fear one thing, and that is the Lord. And God has called us to be a people who are in awe of him, who are concerned to keep his ways and to represent him in our lives, and that we would be the people that God has called us to be. And so God says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of anything else. The world is a place that fans fear. It cultivates fear. But God says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And so as we prepare for this new year, as we traditionally do, we are beginning with the idea that God can do anything. Hallelujah. God can do anything. He can transform our lives. He can cause things that otherwise would not have happened to actually happen in our behalf when we stand and do what the Lord has called us to do. When we align ourselves with his will and his ways and his truth. God says, don't be afraid and behold. Hallelujah. We can trust in the Lord. And so I have a question for you today. And that question is, how many times does the Bible say, do not be afraid? Does anybody know? How many times? Who said it? All right, Stephanie, that's right. And we have a prize for you. Hallelujah. Well, there are 365 verses in the Word of God that say, do not be afraid. And what do you think the reason for that is? Why do you think God has given us 365 verses in the Word of God that say, do not be afraid? Do you think it's because we can read one each day? Hallelujah. One for each of the 365 days of the year. And so you and I have a reason to not be afraid, because God keeps telling us every day, do not be afraid. And so I would like to use as a theme today, what abides, guides. What abides, guides. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh Lord, that you would rise up in the midst of us and give us wisdom and understanding. Give us new life, Lord. Help us to be transformed in our ways, that we might be fully capable and able to reflect your kingdom and to fulfill your call upon our lives. Help us, O Lord, to be the people that you've called us to be every day, a little by little, becoming more and more like Jesus. Take away this anxiety and this fear that is permeating the world. It's all around us. Fear of the unknown, fear of how things are going to be, fear of what we might catch. But God, you are able to deliver us and sustain us from it all. Lord, you are willing to reveal and declare the handiworks of God among us. And oh God, we need you. And God, We long to hear your words and behold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what abides is what guides. When we abide in the Spirit of the Lord, in the Spirit of God, it is going to shape our thinking. It's going to shape our perceptions, our ways. And when we abide in under the influence of another spirit, it's going to also direct us. It's going to guide us. It's going to shape the way we think and behave. And actions tend to be formed out of whatever spirit is influencing you the most at the time. And this is why we are to walk in the Spirit of God, so that we are able to fulfill the will of God. And if we're operating in a spirit of fear, then it is going to govern our actions. It's going to govern our decisions. If we're operating out of what we might think could go wrong, what we might think the problem is. But the issue is not about what might go wrong or what the problems could be, what could happen for in a negative sense, but we are looking for God to say, and behold. Hallelujah. And behold, God has called us to experience him. We bring things before the altar of God and we pray. We call upon the name of the Lord so that he can intervene. If you don't believe God can bring about change, then you will not be able to walk in the right spirit, the spirit of faith, the spirit of God, of trust, of looking to him. This is what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for, isn't that right? The evidence that has not yet been seen. And so our faith is what leads to God opening doors that are closed in the beginning. The things that don't exist, God brings them to pass based on your hopes. And this is why our hope is in the Lord. We are trusting God. We know that things, as we walk with God, progressively get better. We become stronger. We become more sustained in God. And this is why God says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Did you know that according to statistical studies that there are 30% essentially of all people in the United States struggle with fear and anxiety? 30%. That's nearly 1 in 3 people are dealing with fear. A spirit of fear is upon them. Think about that. 1 in 3 people are afraid. They're afraid for one reason or another. And God says, do not be afraid. He says that he is able to change our lives, to give us a hope and a future. And so we looked up the fears of recent study that was done across the United States. And each state has a certain groupings of things, very interesting, of things that they fear the most. I thought it was interesting that so many people fear clowns. Prominently in states, whole states that are afraid of clowns. Goodness. I guess the circus does not go there. Then the circus is not going to these states. Other people are afraid of failure. That's another one that is a popular fear. Their fear of other people even. Find it interesting, in California, their fear is of social media, their reputation and how they come across on social media. Very interesting. But what interests me also is that here in New York, people have a fear of intimacy. People are afraid of connecting with other people so that others can know the reality of who they are, so that they can be open to share their lives with other people. There is this fear that you and I would not be accepted based on who we really are. And you and I should not have a fear of intimacy. As the people of God, we ought to be able to connect with one another, connect with the Lord, with the people of God. We ought to be able to live our lives in a way that brings glory and honor to God. And every day, that is what we're doing. The whole reason the church exists is to help each other grow in God. We all start in a place of weakness in various areas of our life. But over time, God reveals these things and then begins to mold and shape us. And you and I are able to see that we are able to become the people of God because of our faith and our trust in the Lord. And together we pull together. So we don't have to be fearful and afraid when we're around other people and when we're in a crowd. Now, of course, people are afraid of catching a virus, right? We're afraid of catching the virus. But God says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Especially as we understand that in these last days, these things are going to happen. The Word of God, and we're going to look at that at some point coming up, that there will be plagues in the last days. And there will be pestilence and disease. And this is just probably the beginning, more than likely. And so if we're afraid now, you can see how the Word of God says that there's going to be a time where people will say, let the rocks fall on us, because of the stress and the pressure and the fear that will exist in the world, in the culture, in society. And this is why God says to his people, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And if we know the word of the Lord, if we're trusting in the Lord, we know that God is able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. So you don't have to worry about being alone. You don't have to worry about staying away from everybody and not allowing your life to be filled with the interactions that are necessary for us to be strong in the Lord, to gain trust, to encourage each other, to build each other up, to look to God, to be able to enable us to be the people that he's called us to be. God is looking to sustain us and to keep us, to enable us, that his will would be accomplished through us. And we pray that God would continue to use us in this way. And so the word of God tells us in Isaiah 41, verses 10 to 13, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints of God, we see several points here that God is promising us so that if we abide in his presence, abide in his word, that he will guide us. He will make a way for us. He will go before us, as the word of God says here. He says, don't look around you. Don't govern yourself based on what's happening all around you, what's going on in the world per se, but look to God. He says, don't look anxiously around. I am your God. I'm your God. Look to me. Don't look at the problems. Don't look at what's going wrong. Don't look what's going on. Don't worry about other people's faults and shortcomings. Don't even worry about your own. Keep looking to God. We are to look to God. When we look to the Lord, the Word of God says God orders the steps of the righteous. He orders the steps of the righteous. As we look to God, we gain strength. He says, I will strengthen you. He is imparting strength to us because our mind is stayed on Him. If your mind is fixated on some problem, if your mind is fixated on what someone has done wrong to you, some wrong that was done to you, if your mind is fixated on some issue or thing that is has been stirring, that spirit will come over you. The spirit of that thing will begin to lead you. It will begin to govern your ways. It will govern your thoughts. You will find yourself reacting and acting out of the fear of the very thing that you're looking to. That source will begin to impart something to you that will cause you to take actions that are contrary to God. And this is why your past does not define your future. Because the moment you take your eyes off of the thing that is of a hindrance to you, that is creating or leading you into this presence or atmosphere or influence, then you will find yourselves coming out from under its power and its authority. Your ways can change every day. All you need to do is keep looking to God every day. What Satan does is he tries to get us to look at something or someone other than God. And so our trust is not in God because we're not looking to God to bring about a change. And this is why we pray. This is why when we see situations, when we experience circumstances and issues and have problems, we don't focus on the problem. We recognize it, we acknowledge it, but then we lift it up. We lift it up to God. We bring it before the Lord. We're not in denial. We just say, God, help us. Lord, you are able. And we bring it to God. We lift it up. And God begins to go to work. He says, surely I will help you. He says, are you looking to me? Surely I will help you. In fact, I will uphold you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. God will hold you up. Isn't that awesome? God will hold you up. God is looking to sustain his people. He's looking to lift us up. He says, behold, all those who are angered at you will be ashamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. Verse 13 says, I am the Lord your God, who what? Upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Hallelujah. Do you need help today? Do you need help today? Hallelujah. Our help comes from the Lord. Oh, saints of God, I don't know about you, but this brings joy to my heart. It helps me in times of great difficulty to remember that the Lord says, I will help you. I will help you. God, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Have you ever lifted up situations before God? You ever lift up problems before God? A lot of times we get stuck on the problem. We keep looking down. We keep focusing on it. And it plays over and over in your mind. And you try to figure it out. You try to understand it again and again and again. But it just keeps taking you around in circles. And instead of being lifted up, it pulls you down. And God says, lift it up. Lift it up. Saints of God, we've got to learn in 2022 how to lift things up. Oh, we have to lift things up before God. We are going to face problems. We are going to face challenges and difficulties. It's a part of life. We have people and interactions and things that are going on all around us that are difficult and we don't understand many times. But God says, just lift it up. Lift it up. And saints of God, we have to learn how to lift everything up. We have to lift up our situations at work, at home, at school, wherever we are. We have to lift up our situations here in church. We have to lift things up. All we can do is lift it up. And we can ask God to help us. God says, when you lift it up, I will help you. I will help you. He doesn't even say you have to ask. He says, when it comes up, I will. When you lift it up, I will. Surely I will. Didn't I see that word, surely? Did you see that word, surely? Oh, God says, surely, surely I will. Oh, surely I will. And so he says, do not fear. I will help you. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, we all know this. As Paul says to the Philippian church, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Does that word everything mean anything? Does it mean anything? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How can this be? This verse has perplexed me for years, a long, long time, simply because of this combination of words that God has given us. He says, don't be anxious for anything. I understand that, right? But then he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So we know that's by talking to God about it and supplication. That means we're yielding and we're surrendering. You know, we're letting go of everything. We're saying, God, I just surrender it all. It's total surrender to God. I understand that. But then he says, with thanksgiving. Isn't it very difficult to be thankful when you're dealing with something that makes you anxious? How is it that we can be thankful and free from anxiety when we're in an anxious situation or we're dealing with anxiety? Well, God says it's because it's something he imparts to us. And when we lift him up, when we lift up the problem, when we lift it up and we surrender to God, then he says, surely I will help you. You see, it's not on us. It is God who imparts it to us. And when we lift it up, God takes it and says, surely I will help. Surely I will help. And so it's this combination. When you say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God, for bringing this situation around, for turning things around. I thank you for taking hold of this. I thank you, Lord, for lifting it up off of me and for your help. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. And so many times, and I know it's true in my life, I lift up things before God, but I don't always thank him for his response. I don't thank him for his help all the time. Do you thank God for the help when you're in a situation? It's hard because many times if you're like me, you're looking up and then you're looking down. You're looking up and you're looking down. You're looking up and you're going, God, what's going on? Hey, God, what's nothing? Oh, God, hey, you're looking up. After a while, you're like those things in the back of people's cars or on their dashboards where you're kind of going down the road like this. And God says, don't go down the road of life with a bobblehead. He says, look up. Look up. He says, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious, but in everything by prayer. Oh, saints of God, there is power in prayer. There is power in prayer. I know many of you are intercessors, and there is no one more valuable in our lives than those who intercede, than those who intercede, those who lift things up to God so that we can be free. And God says, let your request be made known to God. In fact, he says, I even know already. Before you even say it, I already know. And he says, and while you're speaking it, I'm giving you an answer. Hallelujah. And God is able. He knows, but it's an exercise for us. God says, I want you to lift it up. I want you to lift it up. And saints of God, we ought to have a list of things to lift up. I'm starting a new list for 2022. A new list of things to pray for, things to lift up so that God can do a new thing. And this is what makes our lives exciting. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't this the results that we want? We need to move from anxiety. We need to be moving from this place of anxiety so that we are not looking at the issues and the problems so that we're not anxious, as we saw here in Isaiah 41:10, but that we are moving forward so that we are even in this place where we're able to lift things up, and that we're able to, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, experience the peace of God. Hallelujah. Do you see that? It's like a math problem, isn't it? And when we do these things, when we apply these principles, we won't even be able to understand it, how God is able to guard your heart. Notice it says your mind, because the anxiety has to do with the mind. We start thinking all the things that could go wrong, all the things that are a problem, or all the things that are wrong. Sometimes it is wrong. Things are wrong. Things are happening. But God says, don't even look at all that. Lift it up. Lift it up. If we don't lift it up, it will not change. Nothing will happen new. There will be no peace. And so God says, it will blow your mind. That's what he says right here. He says, it'll surpass all comprehension. Your mind won't even be able to understand how this happened or what God is doing. He says, and it will guard your heart. Why is that important? It's important for God to help us to have our hearts guarded, because many times we have experiences that not only impact our minds, but our heart is broken. Our hearts are impacted. It takes the zeal out of what you're doing. Have you ever lost zeal for what you were doing? That's what happens when you are overcome with anxiety, with problems, with things that are going on in your mind. God says, I will guard your heart or your soul, the core of who you are, and your mind and there's the key, in Christ Jesus. And so we have to abide in Christ Jesus. And so Matthew 6:34 says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you know that's true? Hallelujah. In other words, he's saying, don't compound your anxiety and your issues and your problems worrying about tomorrow and the next day and the next day. He says, you just lift up today's issue. And God says, I will take care of tomorrow. Tomorrow. Hallelujah. Tomorrow. And so we don't have to play what-if scenarios in our minds. What if? What if this happens? What if that happens? Or what if that? And what if Satan likes to do that? He likes to show you his potential to work in our lives. And Satan says, yes, don't look up. Look down here at what I've created. Look at what I am doing. Look at what I am happening. Do you realize that what happens on the earth or down below is under the authority of Satan? But when you lift things up to God it comes out of his place of authority and into God's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are lifting something up from earthly realm and domain where Satan, the prince and the power of the air, is at work because of the fall of man. And we lift it up so that God can have dominion over it and authority over it. And God says, now I can help you. And that is why we call on the Lord. That is why we look to God. In John 14, 27, it says, peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So, saints of God, where is the onus now? Where is the onus? The onus of this is on you and me, isn't it? Because God says, don't you let it. It's going to come to you. You're going to have the issues. You're going to have the problems. You're going to feel all of the anxiety that goes with it. You're going to bear the weight of all that, everything that that thing brings. It is going to be a real experience. But he says, don't let it. Don't let it have trouble or bring trouble to your heart. Don't let it make you fearful. So how does that work? The way this works is, as these things come to us, it's like baseball. You go, pew. It comes and you gotta smack it. You gotta smack the ball. You say, high fly, poof, way up. And we lift it up to God. We send that thing up. We say, I am not Satan. Satan is trying to divide. He is trying to conquer. He is trying to bring us down. Yes, there are problems. In this world, we will have tribulation. Yes, there are issues. Yes, there are things that people do wrong. There are things that we do wrong. And as we interact together, God understands this mix. And what he does is he cultivates us and he teaches us how to lift things up. Hallelujah. The challenge is, some things are heavier than others, aren't they? You see, something little, I can lift it up. Here, I can lift up this microphone. I can lift it up. It's little. I can lift it up. I can lift up my shield, right? I can lift it up. It's easy. I can lift up small things. But if I go to lift up something heavy, right? Now it's like, uh-oh, how do I get this up to God? I'm going to use my brain. I'm going to leave it on the floor. But when things get heavy, we need help. We need help. You see, the heavier it is, the more help you need. That is why we need each other. We need to work together. This is why we can't do it alone. This is why, how demonic is the world saying, don't come together, people of God. Go anywhere but church. He says, don't go there. And people are isolated and insulated and left alone to try to lift something heavy, something they cannot lift alone. And this is why we see all of the issues and the problems that are going on in the minds of the people, all these things that people are afraid of all around the world, all around the country, various types of fears. Those are the spirits that are at work in those places. And you and I ought not have a spirit of fear. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. In other words, it's yours. I'm leaving it with you. It's not like when you leave the presence of God, peace leaves with you. Or when you leave the church, or when you stop reading your Bible, or you stop praying, or when you stop talking or interacting with other people. When God's peace comes upon you, it's an everlasting peace. It goes deep into the heart and the soul, and it helps you keep looking up. It helps you to keep looking up. And so he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Our hearts are troubled when we keep looking down. We keep looking down. Don't look down. Look up. Look up. Let's help each other in this new year to keep looking up, saints of God. Let's help each other to lift heavy things up to God so that God can help us. We need to overcome fear and anxiety. And so I have five different ways that God helps us with our fear or enables us to overcome fear. The first one is that God says, I'll destroy it. I will destroy the fears. In verse 4 of Isaiah 35, it says, say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, God is going to save us. Do you know that God wants to save us? He wants to deliver us. He is not there to beat us down. He says, you made a mistake. You did the wrong thing. You did evil. Boom, boom, boom. No. God says, I know where that came from. I know the source of that spirit that caused this to happen, and I can destroy it. God says that he will come with a vengeance. Why is he coming with a vengeance? Because he knows the author of that evil. He knows the author of that weight and that issue and the problem. And he is there and he comes like a superhero. Bum, 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 bum. I should have had a cape. Right? God will save us. It says he will save you. The second is that God gives answers in order to resolve fear. He resolves it. All of a sudden it starts to dissipate because he starts to give us a different perspective, a better understanding. He reveals something out. He says in Psalm 34, 4, David says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. Oh, saints of God, are you worried about things? Are you concerned? Oh, seek the Lord. Lift things up. Let's keep lifting them up, and he will answer you. And he delivered me from all my fears. Oh, saints of God, Satan wants to replay all the things that are going wrong in your life. He wants to replay them over and over and over again. That keeps you down. You see how it keeps you down? And God says, don't let that happen. He says, don't let it happen. Lift it up. And so we do that by lifting it up to God. We seek the Lord, and then God will respond. Number three, it says, God reveals his love and care for you. Hallelujah. He reinforces that. He reassures us. He says, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God cares. God is not someone who doesn't. He's not just up there like the judge in the black robe and he's sitting there behind his desk. He's kind of there going, violation of the word. Violation of the word. I subject you to punishment, various types. Your life is going to be ruined forever now. But God says, no, I actually care. I actually care. I actually love you. And my love covers a multitude of sins. My love covers a multitude of sins. And you and I are called to forgive. Not to fish in the sea of forgetfulness. Not to look at bad situations and circumstances and keep stirring them around and around. But God says, lift them up. In fact, he says, cast them. cast them. He says, when it comes at you, man, just throw that thing back. Throw that thing up and let God take care of it. God says, I care. I care. Do you know how much God loves us? So much that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him would have everlasting life and that they wouldn't perish. That they wouldn't perish. God is not a destroyer. He is not one who breaks down. He is one who breathes life. He is one who builds up and he lifts up. And when we look to God, oh, how life-changing it is. Hallelujah. Next we have number four in 2 Timothy 1:7. Here is Paul talking to Timothy. He's a young minister and he's in the early process of serving the Lord and ministry. I guess he's been doing it for a little while, a few years now, but Paul says here in chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We're disciplined. We have a disciplined mind. That means when things come to mind, we know what to do with it. We don't allow the things that come to our mind to dictate our lives. We take it and we say, oh no, I'm lifting it up. I'm lifting it up. And so God helps us realize we were not created for fear. Do you know God did not create you for fear? God did not cause you to be fearful. He says, look, I didn't make you to be a person who is living a life to be afraid of things. You see a clown, say, Satan, get behind me. Hallelujah. You don't have to say it out loud, I don't think. You know, at least you don't have to say it too loud. You can say, Lord, I'm lifting him up. Just don't hit him like a baseball. But lift it up. God has not given it to us. So when a spirit of fear comes upon you, don't say, well, the Lord is just trying to teach me something. Mm-mm. God says, no, no, no. I didn't give that to you. He said, I didn't give you that. Well, when you are having anxiety, when you're worried and you've got troubles and you're like freaking out, how am I going to do this? Oh, how's this going to work? How is this going to happen? Or how are we going to deal with it? God says, no, 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 no. I'm not doing that to you. What are you doing? You are receiving that. You are allowing that to happen. He says, don't allow that to happen. And if you put a stop to it by lifting it up, he says, I'll guard your heart and your mind. Do you see how the Christian life works? This is the principles of the kingdom of God. God says, you weren't created for fear. Oh no, that did not come from me. That came from the fall of man. That's something that Satan imparts into the world. You see, God establishes the principles of the kingdom of heaven and of God, and it's all good. That's the way it was when he was in the garden with Adam. But when Satan became the new master, now everything flipped around. So instead of good and love and joy and peace, now you have fear and anxiety. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. And so when we're walking with anxiety and we're worried about what could go wrong, that means instead of lifting things up, we're holding them down. And we're abiding in that which pulls down. And the more we hold on to it, the more we cultivate it, the more power we give to it to pull us down. And so remember, God says, I didn't give you that. I did not give you that. And so finally it says in Isaiah 54:4, fear not. Hallelujah. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame, and do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. but you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. Hallelujah. Well, God says that all of our fear and all of our anxiety from our past, it doesn't go on into the future. It doesn't move forward with us. It stays behind us. Did you know that God says old things are passed away and behold, everything is made new? And it's made new every morning. Hallelujah. Every morning. It doesn't take forever. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take a long time. God says, I am making all things new. Sometimes it doesn't look like it. Sometimes it seems like things are staying the same, but they're not. They're not. God is doing a new thing. God is changing. God is creating and bringing life. God says, don't fear, for you will not be put to shame. Don't worry. Don't worry. We're always worried about ourselves, aren't we? We're always worried about how many times do you hear people say, well, do I feel this? And I feel it's that. I feel, God says, mm-mm-mm. I didn't give you that. I did not give you that. So don't you claim it for yourself. Don't own it for yourself. I don't know about you, but whatever God didn't give me, I don't want. If it didn't come from God, I don't want it. I don't want to hold on to it. I want to keep lifting it up to God. I'm like, Lord, here, Lord, you take this. When it comes to you, lift it up to God. Give it to God. Don't let your past define your future. Don't allow your mistakes of the past to define your future. Don't worry about yesterday, because today is a new day and God is doing a new thing. In Psalm 23, verse 4, we're all familiar with this. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you know where that comes from? Do you remember Aaron and Moses when they went before Pharaoh? They were walking in the valley of the shadow of death. They didn't know if Pharaoh was just going to kill him or strike him down, but they had the rod of Aaron. And that rod represented the power of God. It represented that God was with them. You see, the staff was for walking, the walking stick, to make sure that you had steady footing so that even in unstable ground, you had something to hold on to and to anchor your steps in order to keep you moving forward, to keep you moving in the direction God has pointed you in to go. But that staff also became a weapon of defense. Hallelujah. The shepherd used it against lions and bears and other animals, as we see in the life of David. And we know that the staff is what can comfort you. It represents the power and the authority of God. Saints of God, you are not alone. We are not alone. Do you have fears? Are there fears operating in your life? Do you have various issues and things that concern you, that stir you up? Are you afraid of people like they are in Alaska? Are you afraid of heights like they are in the mountains of Hawaii? Are you afraid of public speaking, or are you afraid of flying? Are you afraid of any of these things? Maybe you're afraid of the dark. Hallelujah. Well, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So, saints of God, you don't have to worry about your fear of intimacy as we are here in New York. We can trust in God. We can gather together in his name. We can lift up our issues, our situations, our circumstances, our problems, and we can trust in the Lord. We can see the mighty hand of God so that we can experience him, because what abides is what guides. And if you abide in the presence of the Lord, if you abide in the word of the Lord, in the ways of the Lord, He will order your steps. He will guide you. He will guard you. He will enable you to overcome every obstacle, every issue, every problem, every challenge. So do not be afraid. Lift it up to God and behold, 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 the Lord is going to do something new in 2022. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. Come on. Yes.
Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your
saints of God, nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible with God. God can turn any situation around. He can redeem any issue, any problem. He can renew. He can revive. He can lift up. He can exalt. God is able to do abundantly more than you and I could ever ask or imagine. Saints of God, do we believe this? Do we believe these things? If we believe them in here, we should believe them outside. Or as we leave this place, as we go out of these doors, you and I ought to be able to testify of the things of God. All it requires is the lifting of things up, casting things unto the Lord, and God will transform your life. God will do a new thing. Don't allow the enemy to hold you down, to cause you to meditate on the wrong thing, to think on the wrong thing, so that your behaviors are governed by the darkness rather than the light of Christ and of God. Let God do a new thing in your mind so that your heart can be guarded and you can be strengthened in the name of the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. And I pray, oh God, that as we begin this new year, there would be wisdom, there would be power, there would be strength in God to overcome the number one spirit that works against the people of this world. And it is the spirit of fear. And God, you said you did not give it to us. And Lord, we cast it down. We cast down imaginations. We cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of the truth of God's word. And we lift it up that the glory of the Lord will be revealed and that the essence of God would be manifested in our lives, that we would not be hindered, but that we would be effective at fulfilling the call of God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout.